guest is Denise Salerno. She is also my aunt. So, Aunt Denise, would you like to tell us something about yourself to get this podcast started?
Sure. So I graduated from Mount St. Mary Academy in 1985. And since then, I went on to college at the University of Notre Dame. And after graduating from there, I went to the Northwestern University School of Medicine. And I am presently a practicing pediatrician in Philadelphia.
Sounds good. That's very nice. So how do you remain involved in the Mount community?
Well, I've had two nieces that one graduated from the Mount about 8 years ago. And then with Ariana there now, I get to hear about what's going on. I also follow the Mount on Facebook. So I get to see what they post and what's going on and what's new, how their sports teams are going. And I hear from some of my old classmates and how they're involved in the Mount still too.
Great, so that was our next question, which would be, do you keep in touch with other alumni?
I do. I keep in touch probably on a regular basis with a handful of them. Unfortunately, we just would have had our 35th reunion, but with COVID that never happened. So hopefully something can be, scheduled in the future, because it would be nice to come together. I mean, everyone's lives goes in different directions, but it's always nice to come back together and reconnect. I think the last reunion we had was our 20-year reunion. So it was quite some time ago.
So can you go into depth about what your current career is right now?
Right now? You want details of what I do or what my position is?
Everything.
Everything. So I am a professor of clinical pediatrics at the Lewis Katz School of Medicine in Philadelphia at Temple University. I am the associate dean for longitudinal curricular threads. And that means I see patients. So I'm a pediatrician. So I see patients from when they're born, and our practice will see them up until they turn 19. And that I do about one day a week. And then the rest of my time is filled with teaching. So I am in charge of what's called the doctoring course. So that's a course that a lot of medical schools have that teach first and second year medical students the skills of how to be a doctor. So how to do a physical exam, how to do a medical interview, and then also teaches them about other things that are really important to be able to provide really good care to patients. So things like social determinants of health, and patient safety and quality of care. So it's busy, but I love what I do.
Wow, yeah, I am thinking about maybe going into the medical field. Not like 100% sure yet, but it's really great to like hear you speak about it. So what made you like want to go into the medical field?
So, you know, when I was in school, I always loved the sciences and was good at math and trying to think about what I could do that I could, you know, continue with those interests. And I wasn't really much into English and the arts. And as I, you know, researched what it was to be a physician, I just realized it kind of gave me the opportunity to join my passion for continuing to learn and my passion for helping others. So it was a great choice for me. I didn't know what area of medicine I wanted to go into until I was, you know, trying to make that decision in fourth year of medical school when you have to pick what residency you're going into, because I loved everything. It was really neat to deliver babies. It was really cool to do surgery. But I felt my passion was really in helping children. And I know it was the perfect career for me because I love what I do.
So if you were to talk to a Mount student who is thinking about going into the medical field, what would your advice be to them?
My advice would be to really find out as much as you can about medicine, because it's a long haul. It's 4 years of college and then 4 years of medical school and then anywhere from 3 to 7 years of a residency program before you're done just with the education part and get to start practicing as an attending physician. It's definitely worth it. I love what I do. I don't think of it as, you know, work, and I really enjoy getting up in the morning and doing what I'm doing every day. So I think that's really important in any career that people choose, is that you really are passionate about it. So do your research, see what it really entails. Being a physician is not what you see on TV. You know, those shows you see like Gross Anatomy. Mm-hmm. That's not really what it's like day to day. So you really want to take the time, talk to different physicians, get experience shadowing physicians in different fields, and see and talk to them. You know, do they enjoy what they're doing? Would they do it all over again? I think that's really important as you're trying to make up your mind.
That is very good advice, because if you have a job and you're not passionate about it, you're just gonna be miserable. So why even do it at that point? So that's
right. Especially a job like being a physician, it's not a job. It really is a career. You know, it's not a 9-to-5 job. It's, you know, it'll be anywhere from 6-7 o'clock in the morning till whenever you're done at night, and you'll take call. You may work on weekends. It really depends on what area of medicine you're in. But the good thing is also with medicine that you can also find a job that fits your lifestyle. So there's plenty of physicians that work part-time or job share, or only do night work or only do shift work. So there's lots of options out there. I also, you know, in addition to providing patient care, I also get to teach. So I work in an academic center, which is really nice because I get to do both things.
Great. Okay, so what has been your greatest achievement since graduating the Mount?
My greatest achievement.
Wow. I think you're going to say me being her niece.
Well, besides Ariana being my niece, I think my greatest achievement would be my two sons. I have 13 and 15-year-old sons who, it's always rewarding when you hear others, you know, you talk about how nice your children are. You know, you raise children and you hope you provide them with the right guidance on how to treat others and how to act when you're not around. And when you hear from parents of their friends of what great kids they are, that really, really makes my heart, you know, swell with pride.
That's very heartfelt and very touched my heart, Antonice. Jumping back a few points ago about the medical field, how has COVID-19 affected you as a doctor?
So, you know, the unique thing about COVID is when it first hit the United States, what they're saying is in March, I suspect that it was probably here earlier, is that no one knew exactly what to expect. It was a novel coronavirus, and coronaviruses are pretty common. We deal with coronavirus in pediatrics all the time. They cause the common cold and congestion, but this coronavirus wound up being pretty deadly. And we know that when it hit New York as the first, and California as the two first spots it hit, is that it was being transmitted quite rapidly to other people. People were getting deathly ill, winding up with really a difficulty breathing. And because of that, and that high transmission, when it started to hit Philadelphia, we had to transition what we were doing to telemedicine. Which we've never done before. I mean, we would always take call, you know, at night and provide care over the phone that way, but transitioning to closing the office for a while till we really got a handle of what was going on and making sure that we had enough personal protective equipment, because we did not have the number of masks and gloves and protective equipment to safely see patients in the beginning. So we transitioned our clinical care to telemedicine, which was, you know, interesting. And I think it was pushed us to an area that we really needed to explore. And I think it's going to stay with us for quite some time, because there is a great use for telemedicine, especially in pediatrics, not for all care, but there's a lot of things that can be followed up and treated over the phone. So I think that's going to be quite helpful. And then the other part of my job in teaching, we also had to close down the medical school and the classrooms because of the infectious rate. So we had to, over the weekend, pivot from in-person classes to virtual classes. So I have a great team of educators that I work with, and we had to change our classes. You know, the big lectures weren't hard. That was easy to start giving lectures via Zoom, but how do you teach someone to do a physical exam or how to do an interview? And we work with what are called standardized patients that act as patients. and students learn how to take medical interviews and do some pretty high level medical interviewing with them. So how to trans that from in person to online took some work. But like I said, we had a great team and we were able to do that. And we are continuing what's called, you know, a hybrid of that. When we can be in person, we're doing in person sessions, and then we're doing what we can over computers and Zoom mostly.
I'm really glad that that a bunch of like education, like whether it be med school, college, high school, that we have the access to technology. Because if we were living in this pandemic in, you know, another century and we didn't have this technology, education would literally just be put on a halt, and that would be detrimental. So I'm really blessed that we have this technology so we can keep learning despite what's going on.
It didn't have to be a century ago. When I was at the Mount, there were no computers. I didn't get my first computer until I was out of medical school and in residency. So, you know, it's true. I mean, if this happened, you know, 20, 30 years ago, it'd be quite different. So we are fortunate, and we've been able to, you know, continue educating our students, which is really nice, that they can graduate and we can continue to provide the frontline workers with more physicians, because as we know, this pandemic is still continuing. And there are really strains on the healthcare system, because when physicians get sick, there's decreased amount of providers. When nurses get sick, it really puts a strain on the system.
Yeah, I think technology has been very beneficial for both like doctors and teachers. So it's really great to hear like your point of view as being both. All right, so now that we've covered a little bit of what you do now, let's go back in time and ask you about where you grew up and why you wanted to go to Mount St. Mary's.
Well, I grew up in Kenilworth, New Jersey, which is a small town close to Union in Union County. And I didn't want to go to the Mount. I was miserable my first couple weeks at the Mount. I came home crying every day. And my parents were, you know, if you want to transfer, you can go to such and such, or you can go to wherever. But, you know, where I went, you know, no one from my grammar school went to the Mount. So I was the only one there. So I really didn't know anyone except for maybe the one or two people that I met in registration when we went up there for the open houses and those sorts of things. So it was a tough transition, but I knew it was the right place for me. And I think after getting involved, like I took horseback riding, I got involved in different clubs and I got to meet people. Then I really started to enjoy it and realized it was a great place for me to grow. I think, you know, an all girls school taught me great leadership skills. I also thought, you know, the way they ran the curriculum, when I was there, we had a flexible curriculum. You know, we had 15-minute modular system that classes ran through. So it really helped me learn how to organize my time. And that really helped prepare me for college, where, you know, I went away to college where I, again, didn't know anyone. And that transition was a lot easier because I knew what I'd been through at the Mount. And I had learned how to get involved in things and how to manage my time and still do well in school.
Yeah, well, it's interesting that you say that about horseback riding, because the Mount now has an equestrian team.
Wow.
And they compete. So yeah. I think that started, I think, a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. And they've been doing really well. But I can relate in the sense that, like, not a lot of people from my grammar school went to Mount. And so I really had to get out of my comfort zone and get involved. And there was a lot of opportunities for me to do that through clubs and activities. So it's great to hear that, like, it's still good, like, that it was, these clubs and activities were accessible, like, in the past, and they still are today.
Well, you have so much more there now. I mean, when I was there, it wasn't until I think my junior or even senior year that the new gym, which is probably not called the new gym anymore, was built. When you first get up the hill, that wasn't in existence. For gym class, we had to change and walk down the mountain, and we played at the fields at the bottom of the Mount. There was not that Field of Angels, that was just trees. So a lot has changed. We did not have many sports except for basketball, softball, field hockey, and cheerleading. I think that was that were all the those were all the sports that were offered. So it's nice to see that they've added an equestrian team and a swim team and a lacrosse team, and that the present students have access to such a great diversity of sports and activities.
That's crazy that you only had a few sports, because now I believe we have 10 teams and like there's varsity, JV, freshmen. So that's quite a difference from, you know, the activities that were there in the 80s compared to right now.
Right.
But in regards to activities, what activities in particular were your favorites or did you participate in?
Let's see. I participated in, like I said, I did the horseback riding club, and that was great. I met one of my closest friends that I still have today, that I talk to and in touch with on a regular basis. We both, you know, met up through, I kind of knew her before we went, but then we did horseback riding, and she was a boarder. When I was up at the Mount, we actually had students that were from all over the state, or actually all over the world, that boarded. So there are people from Mexico and Hong Kong and Ethiopia in my class, which was really an exciting experience. So I'm going a little off track. So horseback riding was one of the first activities I got involved with. I was involved with the Hope Club, Help Other People Everywhere Club. I don't know if that still exists.
That does still exist.
Oh, good. That's good to hear. That was a great club because it, you know, it was something that I continued even when I went away to college, something I got involved in. And then I was involved in student government. I was involved in field hockey. I played field hockey. I was the manager for the softball team. So it was, you know, there were a lot of different things that I got involved in. I did not get involved in chorus because I can't carry a tune, very different than my niece, who has a wonderful voice. I was called up during graduation practice when we had to practice the songs because I was in the back not singing. And Sister Gamolka, who at the time was the chorus instructor, made me come to the front and sing. And my friends all knew I couldn't sing, and that she made me sing by myself. And when she heard me sing, she said, okay, you can go back. And she did not force me to sing anymore. So chorus and musicals was not something that I was involved in at all.
Okay, that's really funny. I can't sing either. So it's really just Ariana here that can sing. But she does a great job. And I'm so sad that like our musical was canceled due to COVID, because I was really excited to like go see her in it, but that's all right. So next year.
Yeah, next year for sure. In the new theater too.
Yeah.
We still haven't had a performance in the new one.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was just named the Sister Lisa Gambacordo Theater, I believe.
Yeah.
Wow.
New and special.
I'll have to go up there and see that. It was just a big empty hall where we had dances and lunches and.
Mm-hmm. They did a great job renovating it. It looks really nice. And I'm really excited for when we can use it.
Yeah, they have so much state-of-the-art technology too. The lights, now we have the retractable seating. The stage got expanded by a lot. The backstage is also beautiful. Before, backstage was kind of smaller, but now we have a huge female dressing room, a male dressing room. It's beautiful back there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nothing like when I was there.
Yeah.
We didn't even have plays when I was there.
Wow.
While you were at the Mount, did you have a favorite class or a teacher?
Let's see. So I probably one of the teachers two left lasting impressions on me. One was Sister. Oh my gosh, I can see her, but I can't think of her name right now. Sister. Well, Sister Thaddeus was my Latin teacher, and her classroom was up on the third floor across from what used to be the art classroom. So she would make us all walk in and stand at the side of our desk and greet her when she came in the room. And we never learned the story, but she had a prosthetic leg, so an artificial leg, and we don't know why, but we knew it was going to be a good day when she was wearing it. When she wasn't wearing it, she was not in a good mood. But she was a great teacher. You know, we learned Latin and we had to greet her every day with Salve Soror. And that really, that class was really a great class. Learning languages was something new to me. And Latin at that, you know, is still a pretty dead language, but she made it interesting. And then sister, she taught physics and she was great. She was tiny, but she was known to be a tough teacher, but she was a really good teacher. She did a great job teaching physics and we did great labs in her classroom, which used to be on the first floor of,
was it? Gabriel Hall.
Gabriel, is that the first building?
Mm-hmm.
Then some time, Gabriel Hall. And she was really a great teacher.
Well, that's good that you have like lasting memories and impressions from teachers and classes. Especially that you enjoy them a lot.
It was Sister Innocent, that was her name.
Oh yeah. Also like a lot of the students in our class take Latin. Like there's a good amount. So a lot of people take Latin at Mount.
We had only had a class of about six or eight.
Six or eight. I would say at least not half. Maybe half of our grade.
At least 20 people take Latin in our class.
Wow. And then as you went on through the years, I think it came down to like five people my junior year or something.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. Latin's a very popular class at the Mount. Everyone enjoys it a lot. They look like they have a lot of fun in that class.
Good. Good to hear that. It's still a favorite class.
Yeah. So what are your favorite memories from the Mount overall?
So I think some of the favorite memories, I think there's a lot of tradition that happens at the Mount that are always nice memories. So things like something you just experienced, the ring ceremony, mm-hmm. you know, the May crownings, the lighting ceremonies. I think those are some things that makes the Mount special that you don't get at a public school or some of the other schools. But then there's also some of my favorite memories of just laughter and joking around and having a great time in the senior lounge. You know, it was a special place that only seniors could go. I don't know if that even still exists.
It does not, but I'm intrigued to learn about
it. Oh, so it was a lounge and only seniors were allowed to hang out there. And when you had time between classes or before or after classes, it was a great place just to gather and lots of laughter, lots of fun in the senior lounge.
Something that we have sort of like that now, is we have a hallway in Gabriel Hall, senior lane. It's only for seniors, but it's not really a lounge. It's more of like a studying area. But, you know, people have fun.
That was there when I was there too. There was senior hallway or senior lane, and that led to, there's a big room right at the end of the senior hallway. That was the senior lounge.
Oh. Yeah, that'd be cool to have a senior lounge.
Yeah, maybe you should look into that for next year.
Were there snacks in the senior lounge or was it like foosball tables?
Yeah. No, there wasn't. It was just a lounge. I think there was a TV maybe.
What? Yeah. Whoa. That is very cool.
I think you should look into that for next year.
Definitely. Our last question for you is, do you have any, or not do you, but what would be your advice for current and future Mount students as they continue to discover their career paths in college and beyond?
So my advice is to, you know, study in high school, find out stuff that you're passionate about. And when you head off to college and you have an idea of what you want to go into, that's all great. But don't pick a college solely on that, because most people will change their courses. They'll change their majors after the first year or second year. So really find something, like I said earlier, that you're passionate about, something that is going to really fulfill you. And I think that's really important. And then make sure you take advantage of the things that you have offered to you at the Mount. There's, you know, at least from what I'm hearing from you, there's like a ton of sports and organizations and activities that weren't there when I was there. And I think that exploring different opportunities. You know, you have a financial club, I think I've seen in some of the newsletters. And then there's, I think, a Model UN. These are things that, you know, we're not around. You have drama and plays. You know, get involved. Get involved to find what you're interested in. And that will make you more well-rounded. And then when you're in college, you know, explore different things. Don't be closed-minded and just think, I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a doctor. You know, I went to, where I went to school, we all had to take a freshman year of studies. And there were certain courses we all had to take no matter what you thought you wanted to go into. And I think that was great because it allowed you to take classes or made you take classes in stuff that you didn't think you were interested in. And I think that was really good because a lot of people I know changed their major. My first year in college, you know, the chemistry class was two huge auditoriums full of, you know, 400 people each. And they were all the pre-med students. And then, you know, the second year that was down to one classroom full because so many people changed their major. And that's okay. It's good to think about what you want to do, but as you explore different courses and different opportunities, that's going to change and that's fine.
So we actually have one more question. What out of the Mercy Corps values that I'm about to list, which one has impacted you the most? We have respect, justice, integrity, service, and compassion.
That's a great question. And it's a tough one because I think they all in different aspects and different phases of my life have impacted me, you know, different days, different times, different situations. But I think one thing that probably was initiated at the Mount was the calling to service. I think that it's really important for those that are born into privilege, and we all have different varying degrees of privilege. You know, it's really important to make use of that and help others and to serve others in a way that we can lift others up. And that I feel started at the Mount and I think has continued with me today. You know, I work in North Philadelphia, which is a really impoverished area where, you know, many of my patients, you know, are living either in a single family household or in a home where grandmother's raising her grandchildren. Many of their parents haven't had more than a high school education. So I really feel that it's important to provide them the best care I can, in addition to helping the medical students that I educate, continue to provide service to the community, not only the healthcare, but we know that so much impacts people's lives besides just their health, and that helping them in that way is really important. So I really stress in my every medical visit that I have the importance of an education for my students and always ask them what they want to be when they grow up, starting at 5 or 6 years of age, and talk about how to get there, you know, how important education it is, even if, you know, it's not their favorite thing to go to school, but how important that education is, because that will help them, you know, have a more successful and productive future.
It's really powerful that you feel that service has been instilled in you from the Mount, because then now that's just creating every single Mountie to go out and you know, like live a life like how you are, like serving others and having compassion towards everyone. So I think that's very powerful. And that's what a Mercy education is providing for all of us up at the Mount.
And even that's probably why I'm still at my job. Temple has a big emphasis on service learning. So, you know, volunteering is something where you are helping others, but through service learning, you get to know the community that you're working in and what they need to help them along. And in doing that work, you also learn from them because, you know, a lot of my patients grew up and are growing up in a very different situation than I grew up. And hearing about that and learning about that helps me provide better care.
I think that's great.
Well, thank you so much for giving us your time and joining us here on the Mount Pack podcast. Ariana and I really enjoyed talking to you tonight. And it's just really great to be able to talk to alumni and, you know, like hear about their stories at Mount and then where life took them after. So we're really grateful for that.
And this was definitely like a different take than hanging out at Christmas or Thanksgiving. Now I got to fully understand about your Mount experience and what you gained from going to the Mount. So I definitely enjoyed this podcast session.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it too. And I want to say it was really, I was really thrilled to see so many Mounties going to Notre Dame next year or this year. I guess they must be freshmen this year. When I was there, I was the only one. I don't even know how many even applied there, but it was great to see that, you know, five of the class of 2020 went to the University of Notre Dame. I hope that continues because I think it's a great way to continue some of the learning and service that you learn from Mount.
So we are recording and got the sound going.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We are very